Friends, the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship here at Rosedale today. I'm going to invite Wendy. She wants to make an announcement, I think, to tell you who I am.
Good morning. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And before we begin our service, I'd like to welcome Reverend Dan Benson. And he will be joining us for the next three Sundays as part of Kristen's sabbatical team. So thank you very much for being here, and I know that you will all give a warm welcome to Reverend Benson. Thank you.
I thought I'd move down here because I knew it was going to be a bit of a smaller group today, and it just seemed like if I was up in the pulpit there, I'd just be so far away from you, and some of you are a little far away from me here, so we're going to make a smaller circle here today. In the name of all that is holy, welcome to worship here today. Whether you've been a regular here at Rosedale for ages, or you just happened to drop in by accident. Whether you are young and maybe in your pram, or elderly with a cane. Whether you are alone in the world, or maybe you have a large extended family of friends. Whether you are tall, short, skinny, plump. Whether you are straight or gay. Whether you're white, black, brown, or plaid. We are blessed by your presence, and God rejoices that you are here today. Leading us in worship today are Sarah and Valdis in music, and Wendy and Greg as readers and liturgists, and of course myself, and we have Ben on tech. A couple of little announcements. I understand we'll have refreshments in the Catherine Grant room, which is through this door after the service, and the rumor has it that it is air-conditioned. So we'll go there for some cooling off and some refreshments. We will be using both hymn books today, so you'll want these handy as we go through the service. And I will let you know which one you need. And of course, a very special welcome to our friends from Rosedale Presbyterian Church and any other guests. I've already spoken to a couple of our Rosedale Presby brothers and sisters, and we're so glad you're here today. In our mindfulness of creation and of the land, we know that we are visitors, guests even, in God's sacred creation. As visitors and guests, we acknowledge those who have come before us, the Huron-Wendat, the Haudenosaunee, the Mississauga of the New Credit, and the Seneca, who for millennia have cared for and loved this land. May we tread softly in their footsteps, listen to their teachings and wisdom, and honor the land and its people in truth and reconciliation. In the name of Jesus Christ, let us worship. And our first hymn is going to be 296 in the Red Book, This is God's Wondrous World. I'll invite you to stand.
And to my listening ears.
Please be seated, my friends. I'm going to call Wendy to join us up here and join us, lead us in our call to worship.
Beloved, the Spirit is alive, moving, and at work amongst us, bringing us together in joy, comforting us in sorrow. The Spirit is waiting to be discovered amongst us, helping those bereaved, listening to those who are troubled. The Spirit is with the downhearted amongst us, as the voice of hope in the unspoken world of gentleness. The Spirit will not be ignored, rejected, or overcome, because amongst us, the Spirit is true, inspiring, and eternal. Come, beloved, let us worship in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who blows through us, calling and free.
We have a practice as Christians that we greet one another, not just saying good morning, not just saying how are you, but that unique greeting amongst Christians that says, the peace of Christ be with you, and we respond, and also with you. So I'm going to invite you to greet one another with that sacred greeting and blessing that we offer each other. The peace of Christ be with you. Yes. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ. So we're going to light our Christ candle that symbolizes the presence of Christ in our life. And I'm going to invite Wendy and Greg to come up and lead us in that. There is a response for this. It is More Voices 14. More Voices is the coil book. So while Greg and Wendy are coming up, it'll be helpful if you turn to page 14 in this.
In times of struggle, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In times of wonder, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In times of renewal, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In this time and place, and in all times and places, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. May the light of the Christ candle remind us of who we are and whose we are, the struggling, wandering, and renewing people of the way of Jesus. Amen.
When two or three are gathered in my name, I am there, I am there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there, I am there. Where two or three are gathered in my name,
my friends, let us join together in prayer. God of the small, still voice in the quiet center, how seldom we sit in silence, waiting, listening for your comfort and assurance, eager for the good news that will renew us. When we stand at that in-between place, the place between sea and shore, between coming and going, between giving and holding back, we need to listen carefully, thoughtfully, prayerfully for the good news that will renew us. When we yearn for a closer walk with you, when we long to see signs of grace in a world all topsy-turvy, when we feel the pain of brokenness in ourselves and one another, we pause and we open our hearts in silence, making space and time to be filled by your presence. Fill us with your presence and grace, O God, that we may share that presence and grace with one another and with the world. Loving God, you have made us in your image, perfect in likeness, but imperfect in our brokenness. In the things we have done and the things we have left undone, we have missed opportunities to be the disciples you would have us be. We have looked past the stranger in need, the friend in pain, and the outcast on the margins. We have turned away when we might have turned to, and therefore made a difference. We come today seeking your understanding, forgiveness, and strength as we seek to fulfill your promise of a world where justice and peace, love and abundance are our daily joys. Friends, listen to this good news. God is abundant in love, generous in grace, and relentless in forgiveness. And in such abundance, generosity, and relentlessness, what can we do but give thanks, accept it, embrace it, and offer it back into the world so that God's dream of creation goes brighter, stronger, and more true every day? And together we can say, Amen. Amen. Reverend Kristen, who was on sabbatical at this time and helped me prepare for these services, told me that one of the things you do is a little time now called opening the theme. And this is something quite new for me, so I hope you're going to help me move into this a little bit. And she says it's about offering a question about what we're going to talk about, to give you a moment to reflect on that before you listen to my reflections on it. So a few little questions to think about and ponder for a moment. Who owns what in your world? What of the things that you think you own, you don't? You really don't. And what of the things that you think you do not own might actually belong to you? Take a moment with that. I'm going to invite Wendy to come up and read the psalm for this week. In the next 2 weeks while I'm here with you, we'll be focusing on some of the psalms and the stories of David that David told through his psalms. So Wendy, if you'd like to share Psalm 24, it's there as well.
So as we contemplate who owns what and who doesn't, we go back to the beginning with Psalm 24, beginning with the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
I came to ministry as a later career. I think by some counts it might be my sixth or seventh vocation. My first was as a horologist, a watchmaker and clockmaker. I studied here in Canada and in Switzerland, and I taught here in Toronto for quite a number of years. You may be familiar with some of the brands of watches that are very popular here. Bulova, Gruen, Seiko, Omega, Rolex, and many others. One quite prestigious brand of watch is Patek Philippe. Based in Geneva, Patek produces very high quality, expensive watches that are the opposite, the exact opposite of fast fashion and disposability. They are meant to last forever. As it were, they were designed to be both timeless while keeping time. Their advertising tagline captures this ideal perfectly. Bless you. You never actually own a Patek Philippe. You merely look after it for the next generation. These ads often picture a parent and a child in a very warm, cozy, very sentimental moment that captures their special relationship. Later ads incorporated a third generation, a grandparent, fostering this idea that you weren't just buying a watch, but something that both spanned the generations, but also brought them tied together. And if you're prepared to drop, say, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 on a watch, a Patek is a good value in more ways than just letting you know what time it is. This ad series was enormously popular and effective and has been recognized as one of the best campaigns ever, along with those quirky VW ads that a lot of us saw back in the 60s and 70s. But aside from how fabulous the watches are, I think the tagline is deeply meaningful and evocative. You do not actually own this precious, rare thing. You only look after it for future generations. Now, in pondering this with our psalm today, I think we might discover something deep and theological to wrestle with. In our scripture today, David, the psalmist, speaks of how all things belong to God. The earth is the Lord's and all things that are in it. What a bold, audacious claim. Everything belongs to God that is in the world and of the world. Everything that creation offers, every blessing we enjoy, every trial we endure, is in the hands of God if we choose. The next paragraph helps us understand how that choice is made. It asks the rhetorical question, who shall ascend to the hill, to God's holy place? Who shall know God? Well, as with every rhetorical question, whenever anyone poses a rhetorical question, you know they're going to offer the answer right away. The answer follows right the next line. Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, those who do not lift up what is false or deceitful. Well, that was easy. Just make sure our hands are clean and our hearts are pure. And sort of like those morning inspections some of us might remember from primary school days. Who remembers going into school and having to hold out your hands to see whether your hands were clean to the teacher? Was I the only one that ever had to endure that? I must be older than all of you. If only it were that easy. The truth is that it's that easy. It isn't that easy, but it's not that hard. I suspect we get tangled up with this whole idea of clean hands and pure heart. That is a really, really high bar. Just as Jesus says to the people who wanted to stone the woman caught in adultery, sure, go right ahead, pick up those stones. But let the first one of you that is free of sin cast the first stone. And of course, they all walked away because no one's hands are that clean. No one's heart is that pure. But maybe the route to that place where we can ascend that hill with God is not so much about trying to meet that impossible bar, but realizing we do not have to. In that simple declaration that begins the psalm, the world and all this, all of us, all the stuff we wrestle with, all the joys we hold, are God's. Can that little bit of truth, can that vision enable us to frame our place in this world and our ability to live with God differently? I think it can. First, it takes away from us the sense of ownership and privilege about things, material things, because they, like us, our bodily selves are transitory. There's that wise old saying, you can't take it with you. And that is so true. We come into the world with nothing, and we leave the world with nothing. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid here, not at all. But in a world that is both material and wealth obsessed, it's worth reminding ourselves of this little truth every so often. And I think that the driving force behind much of our time and energy is concerned with this materiality. And to paraphrase the ancient proverb, it isn't the material things themselves, such as money, that in themselves are the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's the love of material things, the passion and obsession with them. That is the root of the evil. Second, there's a bit of a liberation thing going on here. This thing that everything belongs to God leads us away from a certain burden, a certain sense of responsibility for our brokenness, our missteps, our failures. If everything in the world belongs to God, can't we sort of lay some of these troublesome things at the divine doorstep? It's sort of like a theological therapy session. Instead of going to therapy and blaming everything on your mom and dad, maybe we can just skip that step and blame it all on God. Well, maybe and maybe not. Now, lest you think that I'm going down the road of Jesus, with Jesus speaking to that wealthy young man and telling him to give away all his possessions to the poor, I'm not doing that. That's a sermon for another day. What I am thinking is that there's a paradigm shift, a mind shift, a heart shift, if we surrender ourselves to God. What if, at our deepest level of faith and understanding, we hold that our ownership, our perceived ownership of both our material world and our moral and spiritual worlds are not quite true? That we hold them in trust through the grace of God for future generations. Sort of like that $25,000 Patek watch. I think this might be hugely liberating from many angles. Would we have to be so concerned about our stuff, both acquiring it and safeguarding it? Would we be able to claim that everything we've accomplished is our success alone? Does it put the lie to the idea of the self-made person? Because no one is self-made. We share that with all the people we journey with. Likewise, could we offload some of the burden of the wrongs we have done along the way? Could we say, God, can you carry some of this for me? Might we see this journey of life, not as a competitive race to the finish line, because we all know where the finish line ends, but a companionable walk with partners and friends? Perhaps along that walk, we might need help carrying our loads, our burdens, and others would be there to help us. And we would be there to help them. Because none of it is ours alone, primarily or exclusively. Now, I don't think this lets us off the hook completely. There's no get out of jail free card, because just as Spider-Man says, with great power comes great responsibility. Or, to put a bit of a twist on Spidey's theology, with great grace comes great responsibility. Along the way, we are caring for one another in the here and in the now and for the future. We care for God's beautiful and sacred creation, not just for our enjoyment and benefit, but for coming generations. And God can't do that alone. Prayer is a really good start, but prayer is also a really bad finish, because prayer is the start and there's more to be done. St. Augustine, one of our greatest theologians from way, way back in the 5th century, noted, "Without God, we cannot. But without us, God will not." Let me say that again, because it's a little confusing. Without God, we cannot. Without God, without us, God will not. I love this phrase because it captures so succinctly and perfectly the mutual relationship we have with God. Neither of us can achieve our full potential, us or God. The full potential realization of God's dream of creation without the other. It is a partnership. We can't do it alone. We are not self-made. It lays down the imperative of both relying on God's presence and grace, but also the need to respond and act upon that sacred gift in the here and in the now and for the future. I don't think I will ever be in a position to buy an incredibly beautiful, rare, and expensive watch like a Patek Philippe. Clergy just don't have that sort of disposable income to go drop $100,000 on a watch one afternoon. But I am, and we are all in possession, albeit temporarily, of God's creation. We're not owners. We're guardians. We're caretakers. We're custodians. We are loving minders of something that isn't really ours, with all its beauty and its faults, its triumphs and its tragedies, successes and failures, and love and loss. We participate in all of this deeply and meaningfully, but it isn't ours, even if it seems to be for a moment. We are here simply to care for it because we have been graced with it for now, but for future generations, just exactly like that super expensive wristwatch. But at the same time, my friends, it is a timeless gift, freely and given to us with love and in trust. Amen. We have a hymn. It is in the spiral-bound book. It's number 143. And just to be mindful, the tune is a different tune from what's on the page. So if you read music, don't. Just sing the words.
want or fear, life's goodness celebrating. Let your world make ends from afar, in voids unshedding endeavor, that all may have abundant life and peace on earth forever.
Please be seated. Now, as the new kid here, I tend to do something a little bit different with the prayers of the people. So this is a time when we gather our prayers, the longings of our hearts, and we share them with one another. So we hold each one of us in prayer. So what I'm going to do is to give you a few seconds and say, what prayers are on your heart today? Out of joy, out of concern, what are you particularly thankful for? What are you concerned about? And I'm going to invite you to share them so that everyone can hear them. And then we'll lift all these prayers up to God's healing grace and joy. So my friends, what are your prayers today of joy and concern?
My prayers are for my two daughters in Philadelphia, New York, after the debate that recently happened in the United States.
So Bill shares stories, prayers for his two daughters in the States. And of course, we know that the States are going through a very difficult time politically with a lot of upheaval. There was an assassination attempt last night. So we hold a country, a sister country, in prayer as they wrestle with what it means to move forward in these very difficult and partisan times. And so what we do is we hold that prayer together, and together we say, Amen. Okay, let's do it a little bit better than that. Let's put some back into it, okay? And together we say, Amen.
Amen.
Well done, okay. Other prayers. Kathy.
Thank you. Larry's brother, JD, is battling a very aggressive form of cancer. It's his younger brother, and we pray for him and his family.
What was his name?
JD.
JD. So Larry's brother is dealing with cancer. JD is dealing with a very aggressive cancer. And I suspect all of us know people, maybe ourselves, maybe others, who are dealing with very stressful, very difficult health issues. So we hold JD in prayer, we hold Kathy and Larry in prayer. We also hold in prayer all the doctors, the doctors, the nurses, the care workers, the PSWs, the people that are preparing food in hospitals, the people who mop the floors, that are all there forming a circle of care and healing for JD and for all the others that we may be holding in our hearts today that are facing that sort of health crisis. And we hold that prayer, and together we say, Amen. Other prayers? Oh, Rose.
I'll say a prayer or express my concern for lawyers and the judicial bench in the U.S. I'm thankful that my children in the U.S. are safe, but I do concern myself about what lies ahead for them as the country struggles to come to some resolution of their democratic challenges.
So, Rose, thank you for making my slip of the tongue when I put lawyers in with doctors to make that actually true. But, Rose, we all carry that. There's so many people that are involved on both sides of all of these partisan debates and animosity and hostility and all holding their beliefs incredibly close. And so what we pray for is that there is dialogue and respect on both sides, on all sides of these political debates, and that they can see. You know that phrase, it's a blessing. May we see the face of Christ in that other person, and may they see the face of Christ in us. And so may we, when we encounter that difficulty and that opposition, strive to see the face of Christ in them as they might see the face of Christ in us. And holding Rose's friends and lawyers in prayer, together we say, Amen. Other prayers? Someone else here? No? Okay.
Anne?
Say that again.
Thankful for living in Canada.
Thankful for living in Canada. Good. It's one of these things we wrestle with because we have an enormous amount of pride in our country and we know this is such a good place. But there's still things to be wrestled with. We still have the mess of residential schools and all the hurt that's happened there. We know that racism plays a real active role in so many of the ways that our society struggles. We know that income disparity and wealth distribution is widening and widening and widening. But it's still a really good place to be. And one of the graces of this country is that we have the possibility and we have the voice to try and make those changes. So, thank you for praying and giving gratitude for the country we live in. And together we can all say, Amen. Greg.
I pray for children and youth, wherever they may be, and that we as adults may pass to them a world which is at least as good as we received it, and hopefully better.
That sounds sort of like a summary of my sermon, Greg. You're paying attention. One of the lines I didn't actually put in my sermon was that the Bruce Trail, everyone knows about the Bruce Trail going up through the north, and one of their motto is, take nothing but photographs, take nothing but photographs, leave nothing but footprints. And the idea is you tread in the world carefully and respectfully and strive to make it a little bit better in whatever way we can. And that's a struggle, especially for young people today when drugs are rampant, violence is rampant, guns are everywhere. I fear for the children in a way that I don't think my parents feared for us. So let us hold the children, the youth, the caregivers for them in prayer. And together we can say, Amen. Did you have a prayer back here that you wanted to share?
I do not feel safe anymore after 50 years living here. I am so scared about everything, public transit, and it's not what it was once upon a time. And I cannot see it getting better because what I'm seeing, hearing, it's not going to change. And I'm very fearful. Thank you.
Geraldine. Thank you, Geraldine. Geraldine, I want to thank you for your prayer of and openness on that, because there's a lot of fear about. Fear, as you say, on transit, fear of what can happen to us, what can happen to our loved ones. And how do we face that fear? Because as Geraldine has said, it's this fear that it's really bad and it's not going to get better. And I don't want to be too rose-tinted glasses on it, but I think this is where our faith comes and hits the rubber on the road, as it were, because the most common phrase in the Bible is, do not be afraid. God says that over and over and over. The angels say it to the shepherds. God says it to all the prophets. Jesus says it to his disciples. All over this, the one word, one phrase that is woven through. So the assurance is, when all this is going on, don't be afraid. Don't be stupid about it, but don't be afraid, because we are not alone. For our Presbyterian friends, the last ending of our United Church Creed is, we are not alone. We live in God's world. Thanks be to God. And that is our strength. Let's continue in prayer. Holy God, receive these prayers this morning. Prayers for others, prayers for ourselves, prayers for the world. Oh, Holy God, your grace is needed throughout the world in so many places, in so many hearts, in places where strife and war take root, in attitudes of violence and guns, in politics where empty slogans and name-calling replace honest debate and respect, in homes that are broken through anger and misunderstanding, in hearts that are hardened by bigotry and hatred, in souls that are crushed by grief and isolation and depression, in stomachs that ache with hunger and malnutrition, in an environment broken by waste and pollution. Yet in all this, we are reminded that you, O God, bring us the wonder of beauty and grace and forgiveness that compels us to work with you to create a world of peace and justice and solace. Gracious God, be with us as we hold all this in trust for our friends, for one another, for strangers, for the world, and the world to come. Amen. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Master, we don't know how to do this. We have no idea. Tell us how to pray." And Jesus said, "Use these simple words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Now we come to another bit of the service that I'm not entirely familiar with. I think Sarah plays some music while we do this. And Wendy and I were talking, sometimes we go over and light candles. But I had another idea of this. And this is where we do a combination of carrying those prayers, but also blessing one another. So instead of lighting candles, you're all going to pretend that you went out last night to the disco or something like this. And these are glow bracelets. Does everyone know how glow bracelets work? No? Okay, so Wendy's my Vanna White here. I already did this with her. So you take the stick and you flick it like that and you'll see that it starts to glow. Okay? And then you put it on the wrist like this and there's a little connector that ties the two end together. Now the sneaky thing about this is you can't do it yourself. So you're going to have to find someone else in the congregation to be your partner. So Greg, if you come here. Okay. And these are the sort of words I'm going to invite you to say to one another. Okay. Greg, let this light remind you that you are both blessed and a blessing.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And then you need to pair with someone else. So I'm going to hand these out. And you can mix and mingle as you feel comfortable to do it. Maybe Wendy will give me a hand with some handing these out. Okay, so there's a bunch. And these just break off. And while you're doing that, you can think of the prayers and blessings that you want to share or keep in your heart. We've already shared a lot of those things, but I know many things stay in our hearts. So I'm going to hand them out, and you've got to find someone. I'm going to pass that along to William there if he wishes. Okay, oops, I need to give you links. There you go. And there's two links. Okay, go ahead. You'll need that little thing to connect it. Part of this is recognizing how blessed we are. And so as we take this little bracelet out with us and you wear it today, eventually it will start to fade and the light will not be as strong. But remember that the light is always strong for you, that God's love and grace goes with you as you leave this place. We'll do that more formally with the benediction at the end. But one of the things that this reminds us of is our blessedness. And out of our blessedness, we give back into the world our energy, our time, and our talents, and our gifts, and our wealth, because it isn't ours. So we give it back and we share it. So there are plates, I believe, at the back of the church today for your offering. And I encourage you to be generous with your offering as God is generous with us. And so we bless those offerings, whatever we give to God's work, for us to carry on God's work in the world. And together we can say amen. And our closing hymn today is number 258. In the red book, A World of God. Friends, oh, please remain standing if you can. We are going to bless and commission one another. So it's in your bulletin. I will read the plain type and you can respond with the bold type. Friends, you have been called by God. How will you answer? Created in God's image, we will go into the world to love others as God loves us. Friends, you have been called by Christ. How will you answer? Blessed by Jesus' grace, we will share his good news, feeding the hungry, nurturing the sick, comforting the lonely, and embracing the outcast. Friends, you have been called by the Spirit. How will you answer? Inflamed by the Spirit's power, we will be all that God longs for us to be, a Pentecost people in God's beloved creation. Then may we go knowing that we are blessed by God's love, blessed by the grace of Jesus, and blessed by the fellowship of the Spirit. And the people say, Amen.
Amen.
And now we have a sung blessing.